I don't want to do that.
Well, God bless you guys in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our brother, the first to be raised from the dead, the first fruit, and so much more. And thank you, Barney and Vicki, for giving me the awesome privilege of sharing tonight. This conference call line is so amazing, and I am so thankful to everybody involved, because though we don't see each other face to face, and praise God it's not because of COVID, we live far away. And like, I know for a fact that the couple that got me into God's Word and ran my class called Power for Abundant Living in 1984 live in Maine, and they're on the line. So praise you, God. Let me say a quick prayer. Father God, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for just your family around the world. We're so thankful, Father, to be able to know the truths that we know, to know that Jesus Christ paid the price for us, that we were crucified with him, that now our life is in him because he lives in us. So thank you, Father, for whatever it is you're going to have me share. You know my heart, God. And just that it's a great glory to you and blessing to your people. Praise you. Amen. Okay, so guys, the title of my sharing is The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength. And if you'd like to, you can turn to Nehemiah 8:10. Let me give you a little bit of history. I'm sure everybody on the line is familiar with the record, but in chapter 8, Nehemiah and Ezra was the priest and actually a scribe as well. He was a priest scribe. And Nehemiah, which actually means governor, Clyde taught me that. I wouldn't have known that. But anyway, what they did was the people had been under many, many years, separation. Jeremiah was prophesizing about it. And for 70 years, most of them went into exile in Babylon. And there were a few left in Jerusalem. But in this record, they gathered all the people, all the women, all the children, anybody that was old enough to understand God's word, and they put them in this area, and they expounded God's word. And it says in Nehemiah that they put this little box up for Ezra to stand on to be above the people, and that he spoke the word, he read the word to them, the law, the book of the law, from morning until late afternoon. And those people were crying, man. They were, their hearts were sad because they actually understood that they forsook, you know, what they were supposed to be doing. So anyway, I'm going to start in verse 9 or verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them that were listening to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishbite, which that means governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. I love that. Go enjoy what you have and share it. For here's the key verse. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the question being, what is the joy of the Lord? I mean, I know, we all know what joy is. It's an inside deal, and there's many definitions of it. It bubbles over. And but what is the joy of the Lord? So turn to 3 John, if you would, please. This is a very personal letter to Gaius from John. Let me get there. And the entire Word of God, as we all know, from Genesis to Revelation, is God's heart to his people. It says that in 2 Peter 1:21. It says, holy men of God spake as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, John penned this letter to Gaius, but it's God's word, and it applies to us in this administration. So we're going to start in verse 1. The elder, John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Gaius was a cool guy. I don't know much about him. Verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There's a promise. That's a good one. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And here's the key verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Wow. I love that. Different administration. I mean, God is the same. He's the same throughout all time. And there are different administrations. And I am just so very blessed. And I'm sure you are too, to be living today in the age of grace. So our Father God Almighty rejoices. In fact, he has no greater joy when his kids walk in truth. And when anybody believes Romans 10:9 that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, they become God's kids. They confess it. They believe it. It's that simple. They become his children, his dear children. And there's so many of us from the day of Pentecost, which was in the first time it was available, till now and beyond. We don't know how long it'll be. You look up at the stars. There's more children than in the stars. I just know I want to shine bright. Big family we have been called to. And we're supposed to have simple believing, faith like a child. I've got a bunch of kids. I know, Vicki Reeves, you're on the line. You've got a bunch of kids. We've got a bunch of grandkids. And they're all different. And it's the same with God's kids. Each of us is different. We grow at different rates. But each one of us is special. And what God looks at is the Christ in us. So our Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, has great joy when his kids walk in the truth. I get it. I do too. But what is truth? Well, it's all over the Word. Let's see what Jesus says. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And Jesus is preparing his disciples prior to his brutal death, resurrection, ascension, and he's preparing them for the day of Pentecost when the wonderful gift would be poured out to anybody who believed. So in chapter 14, verse 6, maybe on the right page here, Jesus saith unto him, he's talking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, or unto the Father, but by me. So, number one, Jesus Christ is truth, and it also says in the Word that Jesus was the living Word. Let's look a little deeper. Look over a little bit and go to let's start in verse 15 of the same chapter. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we all know that, and if you don't, you can look it up. In 1 John, it says that his commandments are not grievous. It's all about love, true love, agape, the love of God. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, he dwelt with them at that time, and he shall be in you. So we've got Jesus Christ is the Spirit, is truth. We've got the Comforter is the Spirit of truth. So let's look at John 14, 26 and 27. So that verse 26 of chapter 14, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And I love verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Whoa, I like that. So don't we have Christ in us? Doesn't it say in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to us that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? Yes, I believe it does. So we have the Spirit of truth. We have Christ in us. And we are God's kids. Now, physical kids and us, we're still God's kids, even though we're getting up there in years. We all grow physically fast, especially compared to eternity. But we all grow in different ways. Some of us walked at 9 months. Some of us didn't walk till we were three. I mean, it's all good. But what does the word say about his kids growing up spiritually? Well, brothers and sisters, it says a lot. Let's look at some ways to grow up spiritually. Now, there's not enough time to look at everything, so we're just going to look at a little bit because, you know, that would take eternity to go over all the wonderful things in God's Word. So, how do we grow up spiritually? Well, number one, we need God's Word. We need it. We need it daily. If it's one verse, if it's, you know, an hour in the Word, if it's 10 minutes in the Word, we need it. Jesus needed it. Who the heck do we think we are if we don't think we need it? So, Jesus, when he was 12 years old, where was he? Well, Luke 12:46 says that he was in the temple. 12-year-old kid, disobeyed his parents. They were going home from a feast, and he was missing for 3 days. And his earthly father and his mother Mary found him in the temple. It says that he was in the temple hearing the doctors. Those are the guys who knew the Old Testament scriptures. Both hearing them and asking them questions. Well, so Jesus started pretty young. How about the temptations when Jesus was about 30? He spent 40 days in the wilderness. And I'm sure he spent a lot of time talking and with his father. But I know that he told Satan that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's in Matthew 4:4. How about all the prophets, all the Old Testament prophets, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, to name just a few? They were not born again. They were not God's kids, and we are. But let's look at one verse. So you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. I love this. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And if you know anything about Jeremiah, he went through a lot of stuff. I know he was stuck in a dungeon, a muddy mire cistern, and I know that he was in the stocks, and I know that he got all this revelation about the bad things that were going to happen to his people. But God also blessed him with the revelation about that it wasn't going to last that long. Anyway, the word of God is delicious. I like to eat. Don't you guys? I like to savor my food. So let's enjoy it and spend time digesting it. It's life. It's health. And it's the truth. So number one, spend time in God's word. Number two, pray. Jesus did a lot of this. I'm sure he spent many times in prayer with his Father. It's recorded in the word. I mean, he would get up very early before dawn and get away from everybody and just pray. And yeah. But we, living in the Grace Administration, we can pray two different ways. I mean, Jesus Christ told us that all these things you shall do and more, and there's two things that we can do that he didn't do, and that's speak in tongues, operate the nine manifestations, which is a one package deal, and get people born again of God's Spirit. So those are two pretty amazing things. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Oh, you know, you guys don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 14:15 tells us that we can pray in the Spirit and pray with our understanding. Wow. We can sing in the Spirit and sing with our understanding. Wow. Speaking in tongues is so wonderful. You know what else speaking in tongues does? I mean, there's a lot. But operating tongues and the nine manifestations produces fruit. Are you getting hungry? No. Speaking in tongues is a sure and simple way to enjoy spiritual fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And I'm reading from the RSV. Love, well, not right from the RSV, but I got this from the RSV. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all the qualities and characteristics of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. I want this in my life. I love the spiritual fruit, and it's amazing. It, you know, it just grows every day, and it grows. But speaking in tongues is a sure way to grow that fruit. So let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and please join me there, you guys, if I can get there. I get so excited. The joy just bubbles over. So bear with me. Romans chapter 8. God's word encourages us to pray in the Spirit much in its perfect prayer. So in Romans 8, 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In verse 27 it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And it's so interesting that this is smack dab in the middle, and it says that we don't know what to pray for. So that's our infirmity. So yes, we are told to pray with the understanding, but if you aren't praying with the tongues in your private prayer life, when you think about somebody or minister to somebody, you could be praying amiss. I know I've done it. I don't want to tell you how many times because it's a lot. Anyway, the Apostle Paul spoke in tongues much, as well as all the other apostles and disciples of Christ except Judas. And look at the revelation they received from God. I mean, open your Bible, the entire church epistles and all the way to Revelation. Now, there are at least 16 specific benefits that I know of when we speak and sing in tongues much. there's not enough time to go over all of them. And if you don't know them, it's easy to get Bob's book on speaking in tongues from the Acts Now Fellowship website. And I read a book from another ministry that it's called Power from On High, and there's 16 things listed. And there's more than that. I'm sure of it. Our little minds just can't comprehend it. Let's just look at a couple of the benefits of speaking in tongues. Well, it strengthens the inner man, the Christ in us, and it causes us to be strong in the Lord, strong in the power of His might. The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues more than all of them, and it says that in 1 Corinthians 14:18. So to be strengthened with power and in the inner man, boy, you know, I want that. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, man, he got some good revelation from Father, and he went through some stuff, too. I'm just so thankful to live in this administration and in this country and just be able to enjoy all of God's goodness and grace. Aren't you? Okay, chapter 3 of Ephesians, and verse 14 and 16, and this is Paul's prayer, that amazing prayer. Let's start in 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ooh, that inner man. That's the Christ in us. Okay, number 3. I'm only going to go over 3 things that we need to do to be strong in the Lord. Okay, the third one is singing. Yay! Praise God! We can sing both ways. It's so much fun to sing. Oh my gosh. So flip over to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Okay. And we're going to look at verse 19. I think I'm having too much fun, you guys. Okay, here we go. Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, ooh. And Bob was talking the other night, teaching about singing in tongues while the music's on. And you know what? That is one of my favorite things to do. I love to sing in tongues. It says to do it. I mean, you know how good you feel when you sing with your understanding and you're moving around and you have a joyful, merry heart? Well, when we sing in tongues, it's so simple. We don't have to think about the word, what we're going to say. I love making up merry melodies. God, you know, inspires me. When I'm driving, I turn the radio off, and if Clyde's not with me. I sing in tongues with him, too, because he knows what I'm doing. But anyway, he usually drives, and when I'm alone driving, like from San Diego to San Jacinto through the traffic, I sing in tongues, and I just get such great focus, and it works in every area of our lives. And it's perfect praise to our daddy. So in order for us to truly live this life of victory through Christ, we need to be joyful, powerful, compassionate, and have all those qualities of Christ, which are rightfully ours. He totally, Jesus Christ, paid the price for us to be as he is in this world. So, in closing, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is a fun one too, guys. Turn to Zephaniah 3:17. I love this little tiny book. I like to keep things simple, but there's so much treasure in there. So I love this verse. In closing, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Ooh. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. I love that. So, we all want to please our wonderful big daddy, our father, don't we? We're just his kid. We're his kids. And we make it so hard on ourselves. I am so tired of beating myself up for trying to run my own life. I am totally committed to the fact that the life I live is in the Christ in me. So let's keep it simple, guys. We're his kids. He loves us. In fact, he really, really likes us, too. So, Heavenly Father God, thank you so much. We give you such great praise, and every moment of our attention should be on you, Father, and you always are with us, God. So it's just such a joy and such a, words don't describe it. I'm just going to speak in tongues. To be part of this beautiful family, to have the hope of your son's return, to know that all the stuff that we go through, because boy, oh boy, we do go through stuff, but I reckon the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. We want to glorify you, Father. We want to shine for you, because this world is really dark. And we know that we are the lights of this world. So thank you, Father, for everybody on the call. Thank you, God, for how you placed us exactly where you wanted us, Father, and that we can just walk out with the simplicity of a child and love on the people around us. You're so, so good, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise you, God. Amen. That's what I want.